with you.
And also with you.
Your Holy Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two fishermen, Simon and his brother Andrew, catching fish with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you how to catch people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. And then he went a little further on, and he saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat getting their nets ready, and as soon as Jesus saw them, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went with Jesus. A slightly different text of today's gospel. Now, I'll tell you a story. Perhaps it resonates with you. One day, the rector received this call from one of his parishioners. "Hello, Father, I need to see you. Come on over this morning. I need to have breakfast and get my hair done. So how about 11 o'clock? How does that work?" And the rector agreed. He had learned sometime before that this particular person was not someone to be trifled with. And when she ordered him to appear at her house, he appeared at her house without argument. And as soon as he arrived, he was directed to sit in her lime green sofa. And she started writing, "Father, I called you over here because the most wonderful thing has happened. I have personally, right before my eyes, as big as life, just like you are sitting here in front of me right now, I have seen Jesus." "Oh, really?" the rector asked in some amazement. "Yes, you thought it kind of a thing that only happened on television. Well, it happened to me." Now, you probably think I'm lying, don't you? "Oh, of course not. No, no, no. Why would I think that?" he asked. "Well, anyway," she said, "it happened. Last night, George and I had been out to dinner. You know, we went to that new Italian place at the edge of town, and I'm afraid I ate too much. Really had bad indigestion, and so was up and down all night. I'm sure you know what I mean. Well, about 2 or 3 o'clock this morning, I sat straight up in my bed, and I thought I heard someone call my name. At first, I thought it might have been the indigestion, but there, right at the foot of my bed, there he was, as big as life. Actually, he was bigger than life. My Lord, he was dressed in white, shiny, just like he is in the third window on the left side of the church. You know what I'm talking about. Just as clearly as I'm speaking to you. Gladys," he said. And I said, "Here I am, Lord," or words to that effect. And he said, "Gladys, follow me, for I have work for you to do." And then he was gone. And that's why I called you over here. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to do his work completely, without holding back, Reverend. "Well," said the rector, "that is wonderful. Only a few of us receive those kind of visions, and I'm only too happy to help you think of ways that you could serve our Lord. So, let me see. Have you thought about teaching? The Bible study group lost its leader last month. Maybe you'd like to be one of those and teach the Bible study group. The Bible study group, she exclaimed. Me teach the very group that were so snobby when George and I first moved here? I'd like to tell them a thing or two. No, you wouldn't want me to teach the Bible study group. Oh, I see, said the rector. Well, how about teaching the kids in Sunday school? You know, we have a real problem getting people who will help with the children. Father, have you lost your mind? Can't you even remember visiting me in the hospital last year when my back went out? That would be suicide for me. Don't you know that working with little children means having to bend down and sitting on the floor and even lifting them up? My back hurts just thinking about it. Besides, wiping Sonny's nose makes me sick. I get the picture, said the rector. Well, before you retired, Douglas, you worked as a secretary who knows something about computers. If I could get you to type a few pages a couple of days a morning for us, that would be a great help. Oh, no, you don't, she said. I thought I made myself clear when you went and bought that expensive new computer for the church that I was opposed that you bought it. We had nothing but trouble with them when I worked, so no, you thought I knew about computers more than anybody else, so you're stuck with it yourself. I'm not going to work on computers. I would lose days, even months at work when it crashes. So that computer is your problem, Reverend. So the rector made a couple more attempts to figure out what Jesus might have had in mind when he asked Gladys to go to work for him, all to no avail. Finally, in exasperation, he said, look, Gladys, why don't you think about it? Maybe you should visit that Italian restaurant again. Maybe you'll have another vision. And next time, would you do me a favor? Don't let him get out of your bedroom without him telling you exactly what he wants you to do. Okay? Well, you see, Gladys had a problem. She heard the call of Jesus, and her response, though initially enthusiastic, never resulted in anything. So unlike the fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, in today's gospel reading, Gladys was quite different. Now, Mark's gospel account gives us just the bare facts. A lone figure stands on the edge of the water, silently watching them. The man calls out, come with me. I have a job for you. I'll teach you how to catch people. And Mark tells us that they immediately left their nets and went with Jesus. Without hesitation, they left their father, their friends, their co-workers, and their nets, and they followed Jesus. Jesus called these men into a relationship with him, into God's kingdom, not because they stepped forward and volunteered. In fact, they may not have even known that he was standing there until he called them. Come with me. He called these ordinary guys to be disciples, and in doing so, he called them to be prepared to have their lives turned upside down, to have the present and the future radically changed, to be part of the pain and the struggle that comes with God's kingdom breaking into the lives of people. And that leads us to our story. This is a story about discipleship. It's a story about how it got into your head that you ought to be a disciple. This is a story about how you get here this morning, even if it's just a decision to participate in this online service. How are you here? You're here because you were called to be here. These days, we are big on decisions and the freedom and the right to make choices. People see their lives in terms of their own self-creations, their own shrewdness, their cleverness, their intelligence. But this scene on the shores of the Sea of Galilee tells us that discipleship is first and foremost a result of God's decision. We are projects of the living Christ, something that Jesus makes and molds through his relentless reaching out to us. You are here because you were put here. People decide to go to the theater. They thumb through the computer web pages or the newspaper and they see some concert that's being presented on a certain night and they say to themselves, "That looks interesting, let's go." But that is not how you get to church. You move toward the kingdom by being summoned, by being invited, by being addressed and called. This thing is by invitation. You have to be called even if you are here only online today. The same thing applies. This is your story. This is why most of you are here this morning. Most of you are watching this morning because you've been invited to this moment. Every time we baptize, no matter what the age of the person being baptized might be, as Jesus calls that person, they are initiated into the Christian life. In effect, God is saying to that person, the life you live is not your own. You are named, you are claimed, you are commandeered. I have a plan for you. I have a job for you. So now go and live out the life of your calling. All that God has to give to the world and to the wants of people, the expression of God's kingdom, the sharing of God's love for others, the supporting of those who need God-like strength to get through their difficulties, the passing on of a godly wisdom when it comes to telling others about good choices, all of that is in the hand of amateurs. We would not run a business like that, but this is the way God gets what he wants. Follow me, he said to those fishermen. Follow me, he says to you and me. You might be amateurs in matters of the kingdom, but I will make you my disciples. I will give you the Holy Spirit to whisper in your ear to teach you what you need to know. Well, Gladys heard Jesus call her to something in the kingdom of God, but she missed the next step, actually doing anything. She did what we would call a Jonah. We heard about Jonah at the first meeting this morning. Remember how God called him to go into the notorious city of Nineveh with a message about repentance? And instead of doing it, Jonah argued that what God expected of him was, well, God, it was impossible. It was even dangerous. And in fact, God was downright stupid. A person would have to be crazy to do anything like that. And so Jonah tried to put as much distance as he could between God and himself. What those four fishermen did was equally crazy. Jesus spoke to them, no bright lights, no rolling thunder, no visions, no dreams, no angels dressed in dazzling white. Jesus simply says, come with me. And they immediately got up, they left everyone and everything, not an easy thing to do, and indicated their readiness to be taught how to catch people. You know, Christian history is filled with the stories of people who left the comforts of a good life to give their life to God's work, often in faraway and lonely places. Why? On what basis would they do that? Many would say that it was just a feeling of what God wanted them to do. So that's it? Just a feeling? Just an impulse? You know, I'll tell you something. Ask most who serve in the church how they came into doing what they were doing, and you'll find their stories are, quite frankly, rather mundane and ordinary. But of course, you're going to find those stories about blinding light and voices from above, the bolt from the blue and visions of Jesus. But from what I know myself, and from what I have heard, the spectacular call is unusual. Friends have told them that they are crazy, giving up what they have to get involved in some crazy and half-baked project. There are better people qualified to enter such callings. But that's the way that God does things. When God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, Moses himself thought that God had done it all wrong. What qualifications did he have to make such a demand of the king of Egypt? And likewise, when God called young Jeremiah to deliver a severe message, Jeremiah thought God must have lost the plot. A farmer by the name of Gideon was called by God to lead an army and save Israel. A farmer called to defeat a powerful enemy. Surely God must have had the wrong person, he thought. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, just ordinary fishermen, were called by Jesus to bring God's kingdom to others and to change lives. And Gladys, the retired secretary, called by God to do God's work. And that's how it often is. God calls amateurs, and he puts his kingdom into their hands. He calls them to obey, to do his will, and to expand his rule in the lives of people in all kinds of circumstances. The sad thing is, we have so often failed to respond to Jesus' call. For all the times that we have ignored God's commands, for all the occasions when we have selective hearing and we hear only what we want to hear, for all the times we've let down other people because we have gone our own merry way, believing that what God has told us is just a little insane for us. For all these occasions and more, we are glad that Jesus was obedient to the call of the Father, even to the point of dying on the cross to give us his forgiveness. So may God grant each of us ears to hear when he's speaking and willing hearts to obey when he commands. He calls you and me, amateurs, in matters relating to his kingdom, to be his disciples in the community.